This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cameron?
I think this may have happened yesterday, but we didn't touch on it. But the Raiders president, Mark Bedane, I don't really know how to say it.
Who?
The Oakland, or I guess Las Vegas Raiders president,
okay,
abruptly announced, or Mike Davis abruptly announced that team president Mark Bedane, it's like Badain,
never heard of
resigned.
Him.
And apparently it shocked everybody inside the organization. They weren't expecting it.
Okay. Turmoil right before the season. Do we know why? Did he say why is it?
He addressed
John Gruden related? Is it power struggle or health, or do we know?
So he addressed it through text for some reason, but he said the successful He said the successful construction and operation of Allegiant Stadium has been unequivocally the most challenging part of my 30 years with the organization. Seeing it through the end has been rewarding beyond measure. Together, the Raiders and Las Vegas accomplished what seemed impossible. I'm forever grateful to Mark Davis for his unwavering support and friendship. I wish him and the Raider family the best. I will always feel part of the team because everyone knows once a Raider, always a Raider. But yeah, he didn't really give a reason there, but they are very confused with the timing and circumstances. And so people say there may be stuff behind the scenes, but...
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a power struggle there with him and Gruden, because Gruden's kind of in control there.
Yeah, and he talked, he talked about being so proud of the stadium and stuff. Well, dude, you're a month away from seeing it packed full of fans for the first time. I feel like you would have wanted to be there for that, but...
I guess when you know.
He is out.
All right, we got... So the NBA season just ended last night, but the rumors, the offseason, it's here.
Let's go.
It's here. And according to sources, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers have been on the hunt for a veteran point guard, and Chris Paul is on the list.
Oh, really?
Mm.
There have also been talks about Washington Wizards star Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang.
Being a potential candidate to move back home to L.A. in a sign-and-trade deal that could include
Dennis
Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, and Talen Horton Tucker.
Mm.
Chris Paul would have to take a pretty big discount, I feel like, there, but maybe not, yeah. I guess, if he opts out, they could make the money work, but that would pretty much just be him, AD, and LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of vet minimum guys, but like...
Better nail your draft pick,
but I mean, I guess, if you got rid of KCP and Kuzma, you could afford it.
Yeah.
Especially if Chris Paul took a little bit of a cut, but the Lakers looking to, I guess, gear back up and try to get back in the championship scene. And Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, two names being linked to the Lakers.
I mean, Chris Paul just showed that he's going to need a little help from some bigger people if he's going to do it. So you might as well join a super team if you want that ring that you've been so chasing, Chris.
Well, we hadn't really gotten to like the ins and outs of the series, but, you know, what we've seen throughout history is that it's really, really tough to be a small guard and be the best player on your team. Mm-hmm. You can talk about Chris Paul. You can talk about Devin Booker. Both of them struggled towards the end of the games and, you know, in the last game, especially Devin Booker. But, you know, you do need a big wing guy. You do need some guys who can get some buckets in the paint. Giannis, of course, dominating the paint. LeBron James and Anthony Davis could do that. Chris Paul couldn't. So, I mean, yeah, he does need some help. I don't think Phoenix is a championship contender next year. I think this was a lightning in a bottle situation where everyone got hurt and they kind of snuck up on some teams. I don't think the Suns would be back at the top next year. So if I'm Chris Paul and I do desperately want a championship, but I'm not tied to the Suns. I am kind of a mercenary at this point, just kind of going from team to team. I would take my chances somewhere else too. And he's friends with LeBron, so maybe that would make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, that trio would have a pretty good shot of winning a title.
As of right now, the Suns sit fifth for the odds to win the 2021-2022 championship behind the Warriors.
That's just giving the Suns respect. I do not think they are the fifth best team.
Not at all. It's plus 1,500. They're not really saying, and there's a lot of teams that are grouped right there. So they're just saying they're one of a couple, not a true one.
Gotcha. Cam, any other headlines?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the other day, but Ray Allen had a bad bike crash.
Did not see this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he basically said his helmet is basically what saved him. He posted, like, some pictures on his Instagram. He basically said, what happened, he, like, posted his Instagram post kind of describing what happened. He said, yesterday as I approached the end of my bike ride, I was cruising through my neighborhood and a car pulled up slowly behind me. I sped up to get out of the way. As I looked back behind me, the car was gone. But the minute I turned my head back to what was in front of me, it was too late. I ran over a tree branch that was in the road, and my front wheel went haywire and threw me from the bike. I landed on my face, shoulder, and hip. Got up immediately, walked about 100 yards back to my house in shock. When I got to the house, lost my breath and almost passed out. My wife took me to the hospital to make sure I didn't have any internal bleeding.
I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. Bike's dangerous.
Yep. He said, thank God for my helmet, because his head hit the ground. He didn't even realize how fast he was riding, and it still took a toll. He, like, posted a picture of his bike helmet. It's all scratched up, too. So he credits the bike helmet to saving his life.
I think that's fair to say.
But, yeah, he is recovering and stuff like that. But, yeah, he had a bike accident, and he is okay now.
All right. Got some entertainment headlines for the people. Sturgill Simpson announces his third album in less than a year, coming August 20th, as he is doing a conceptual album called The Ballad of Dude and Juanita. So he's going to tell a story throughout the entire album. So be on the lookout for that. August 20th, The Ballad of Dude and Juanita.
Another thing you can be on the lookout for, if you've ever applied to a McDonald's, White Castle, Cheesecake Factory, anything like that, they are digging through old resumes, and they are calling up those people that have applied years ago because they are still looking for workers. So,
might as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently, like, people are literally getting called up. Like, somebody was talking about getting called up for a Cracker Barrel called her up after she applied to something in high school. And years later, they are calling her like, hey, you still want this job? Which is insane to me. But, yeah, I guess you got to give it a shot. Maybe they're still looking for jobs, too. Who knows? Maybe they're not happy somewhere. But, yeah, with a lot of the, service industry still struggling for employees and stuff, it looks like they are digging through the archives.
All right. Some NBA mock draft news. According to The Athletic, two Tennessee players going in the top 21.
Nice.
At number 20 and number 21, as Keon Johnson falls all the way to number 20 to the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh? Where is that coming from?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning would be.
I haven't seen anyone else have him lower than, like, 12, maybe? Like,
yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so Johnson is an extremely polarizing player for front offices.
Okay.
Some love his athletic upside and see him as a real potential offensive playmaker. Others just strongly believe he is not going to shoot it and that he's a bit loose with the ball. I've heard anywhere from top 10 to mid-20s for Johnson from teams.
Wow.
Unfortunately, someone just kind of has to fall on draft night. And for me, Johnson is going to be that guy.
Wow.
Says he wouldn't surprise if he hears more intel, later that moves him back up. But for now, that's what he feels. I personally don't think, I would like Keon with the Hawks because I'm a Hawks fan. I like Keon, but I'd kind of rather have Jaden Springer just because the Hawks need a backup point guard more than they need a backup.
You already got DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish.
And Kevin Herter. I get that you're not going to be able to pay all three of those guys most likely, the Hawks probably won't, especially with Bogdanovich there, but just seems a little log jammy. Although with his athleticism, I don't know, maybe. And then number 21, Jaden Springer going to the New York Knicks.
Interesting.
How did y'all get the 20th pick? What trade happened?
I mean, just
our draft pick.
We were, what, the 5 seed in the East?
Yeah, we were in the playoffs. So I mean, outside
is that how they do the picks? Is it by, like, the seeding? It's not by the finish?
Yeah, well, no, it just goes by record.
It goes by record purely.
Yeah,
okay.
not like the NFL. The NFL will do the non-playoff teams or by record. Yeah. The playoff teams kind of go
MLB
by
does the same way, too.
Not the NBA. It goes, I think at the very end it does.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So yeah, like I'm pretty sure, like, 30th pick should be.
The 30th team.
Should be Milwaukee, I would think.
And then 29 would be the Suns.
Or no, maybe it is just straight record on there. I think they may have just left them set because the lottery's done. So like, you should have.
Yeah. The Jazz are number 30. Yeah. And this, So it just goes straight record.
That's so different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which Milwaukee doesn't have a draft pick anyways, but let's see where there's anywhere where it would be. All right. So yeah, Jaden Springer to the Knicks. That'd be a good fit. Obviously, Springer in New York City, they need some point guard help. So that would be a pretty cool fit. Any other headlines, Cameron?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, kind of, you know, not taking shots at Cole Beasley, but another guy that kind of came out and addressed stuff about getting the vaccine and stuff. He said he views it as a competitive advantage if your team is more vaxxed up than the other teams. He said, it's about the safety, just general health and well-being of human life, but also at the same time, he thinks it's giving them an advantage because, you know, they don't have to deal with as many COVID protocols, things like that. And even like people like Michael Irvin kind of have linked the willingness to get vaccinated with the desire to win. So basically they're just saying that's like one of those things, kind of like you referenced, like Alabama was going to be all vaxxed up because they weren't going to let that get in the way of them having a shot at the title. That's the same way people like Michael Irvin and Baker Mayfield are kind of viewing this right now. So, maybe Cole Beasley doesn't want to win.
Maybe Cole Beasley doesn't want to win like Alabama, like Georgia, like the Browns.
Like the Browns.
I mean, Michael Irvin did come out and say that.
Yeah.
Said, hey, if you're not vaccinated, that means you don't want to win. You're not committed to winning.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do. I mean, I don't think you can do that in the locker room when you're talking about people's health and what they're putting in their body. Like, I don't think you can make that connection or say that. But, you know, Michael Irvin did it, and Baker Mayfield kind of echoing that. A little bit more entertainment news. Big news for wrestling fans, as apparently CM Punk, a big favorite of a lot of wrestling fans. He's been gone for a long time. He is in talks for a potential return to the ring. CM Punk could be returning to wrestling. Okay. I know that's got some people fired up.
Man, I just wanted to jump back to the Olympics 2020 with women's soccer opening up. Netherlands just opened the door on Zambia, winning 10-3 with a hat trick on both sides. One girl, Barbara Banda, netted all three for Zambia.
If I'm Barbara, I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, for real.
I got a problem with that. Although, like, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I feel like the Netherlands, at least the men, are pretty damn good at soccer. I'd imagine the women are too. Yeah. And like Zambia, probably
doesn't
overmatched.
Doesn't
scream
soccer power.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seems a little overmatched there,
gosh, what are they doing in the Netherlands right now, though? They're
playing soccer.
Playing Zambia.
Playing a ton.
Let's go to break. We'll come back. We got some NFL prediction schedules, some record predictions from USA Today.
Ooh.
We'll get into that next. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. All right, we got some NFL record projections from the USA Today Sports. Hey, Ryan, see if you can find the 2020 predictions from USA Today, because I remember looking at this not too long ago, and outside of the Titans, they were wrong on the Titans, which everyone's always wrong on the Titans. They're always too low on the Titans. No respect for them, but I remember looking at their projections and not thinking it was too bad.
Like, they're pretty good? Okay.
I feel like they were. Now, again, I want to fact check as you pull it up. I feel like, you know, they got the Titans wrong on a couple games. But outside of that, other than, like, you know, some surprises, like, you know, I think the Texans.
They didn't have
being good, but I don't think they had them, you know, being as awful as they were, right?
Yeah, they had them 500.
Okay.
8-8.
And the Texans won, like, what? 3 games, whatever it was.
4-12?
Okay.
Maybe?
So fact check me there on the standings. So they had the Chiefs at what, 12-4?
Yep. But
that was pretty good, right? I mean, that's kind of how that shook out. What did the Chiefs win?
14-2?
Did they get the 14?
They had them win in the division.
Yes.
Okay. I got the records put up. Let's go through here. So let's just start with the AFC West. They had the Chiefs at 14-2. Division champions, and then what?
Broncos and Chargers tied at 9-7.
Everyone loved those damn Broncos.
And the Raiders 7-9.
So Chargers and Raiders, they weren't far off of. I mean, the Raiders went 8-8. The Chargers went 7-9. So, you know, a little low on the Chargers. They're a little bit wrong on the Chargers. Broncos were four games worse. They were 5-11. Yeah, so I would say they missed the Broncos as
they
well.
They had them as a wild card team, the Broncos.
They weren't alone. There were a lot of people riding the Broncos last year. Drew Luck sucks. Sure. All right, AFC North, they had what?
Ravens 13-3, Steelers 11-5.
Okay, so 13-3, the Ravens were two games worse than that, and the Steelers were 12-4, but they have an 11-5, so I would say fairly close good, on those projections. Yeah.
Browns at 7-9.
All right, so wrong about the Browns, who of course went 11-5.
And Bengals at 5-11.
They were close there as the Browns went the Bengals went 4-11-1.
So one miss per division so far, it seems like. Big miss.
Yeah.
All right, for the South.
Colts at 11-5.
Which they went 11-5. They did not win the division, but they went 11-5. They were wrong on the Titans, so they had it 9-7, so two games wrong there.
Yep.
We already talked about the Texans and then the Jags. They thought were gonna be awful. The Jags were awful, no surprise there. In the East.
Bills at 10-6.
So a little bit low on their win total. They missed them by three, but had them winning the division properly.
Yeah. Patriots at 500.
Okay.
8-8. Really missed on the Dolphins. They said 6-10.
Which I think the Dolphins were a surprise to go 10-6. But, all right. So miss on the Dolphins as well. The Jets.
5-11.
Yeah. So, I mean, had them in last place, but missed by three games. So not that bad off on the projections, I don't think.
Yeah.
Give me the NFC right quick.
Yeah, the NFC West, it seems like they did kind of miss a little bit because the 49ers were 12-4.
I'm not going to hold that too far against them because I feel like the 49ers just ransacked the injuries. Yeah. But
Seahawks 9-7.
Okay, they're low in Seattle. Although Seattle, I always look at and be like, you're not going to win as many games as I thought. Although we did have that exercise last year, Cam, where we saw how easy the Seahawks schedule was. Yeah.
Cardinals 7-9 and Rams at 6-10.
Okay, so they were pretty bad on the NFC West. They missed the Rams 10-6 and missed the Seahawks by some games. And like I said, the 49ers just ransacked by injuries.
Yeah, Packers were 10-6 up in the NFC North, followed by the Vikings at 9-7. They really went higher on the Lions at 7-9, and the Bears were supposed to be 3-13.
Oh wow! Okay, so missed the Bears by five games. Bears finished in second place and won, or you know, got a wild card spot. So not good there. The NFC South, what they have?
They had the Saints as their Super Bowl winners at 12-4.
Okay, the Saints did go 12-4. Super Bowl winner. Not
Bucks
great.
At 10-6.
All right, 11-5.
Cam, your Falcons at 9-7.
Off on them.
And the Panthers 3-13.
Injuries. Okay, so maybe not as good as I thought. In the NFC East, I'm imagining it's going to be all messed up because everyone was just injured and terrible. Yeah.
Cowboys 10-6. Eagles 9-7. Redskins 5-11. Okay. Giants 2-4.
It's not as impressive as I thought I remember them doing, but they weren't like crazy off on these. They have made their predictions for the 2021 season.
Okay.
The number one overall seed in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Bucks at 14-3.
Okay.
I don't think there's a huge surprise there. The Bucks, are the preseason favorites in the NFC, and you know, apparently got the best offensive skill players and maybe the best defense. So
I keep forgetting about the 17-game schedule.
It's weird.
14-3. I was like, oh wait, yeah.
The second best record and the number one record in the AFC goes to
Kansas City Chiefs,
the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
Who they have at 13-4, winning their division by two games and getting the number one overall seed in the AFC.
Wow. Okay.
The other three AFC division winners, they have all going 12-5. The Chiefs, Titans, and the Bills.
Okay.
It can't be as cut and dry as that, right? Like, where we know all four division winners. That doesn't usually happen in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, for comparison's sake, last year, I guess what? In the AFC West, we'd have known the Chiefs. We wouldn't have known Pittsburgh over Baltimore. We would have probably thought Buffalo. And, again, a lot of people are picking the Colts. So, 2 of 4, we're probably the picks, the heavy picks. And then the other two, at least the AFC South might have been a little bit of a toss-up. And the AFC North was a shocker.
Because the Saints ended up beating the Bucks, right?
For the division.
For the division. Yeah, they got 4 out of 8 last year. Right?
Okay. Cam, you have any problem with the Chiefs, Titans, and Bills at 12-5?
No. No, I think that's fine. It's definitely like if you're looking at some of these like over-unders on like FanDuel, they have the Browns at 10.5 wins. They got the Bills at 11. Kansas City at 12.5. And the Titans at 9. So if you're trying
not
to
a lot of respect
nail
Titans.
One of the overs. Yeah.
What's the Titans?
The over's like minus 150 for the over. So.
Okay. Got to bet 150 to win 100.
Yeah. Okay, coming up, I don't have any issues there.
In second place in the divisions, the Chargers at 11-6, the Ravens at 11-6, the Dolphins at 11-6. They're the three wild card teams, which I don't know if I'm going to pencil in the Dolphins at 11-6. I got to see Tua.
Yeah, that's my issue.
I got to see Tua prove something first. The Colts finished second in the AFC South at 9-8 and missed the playoffs.
Ooh.
I don't know if I'm taking the Dolphins out of the playoffs. So, like, okay. So, as we sit here right now, Cam, who do you feel confident in making the playoffs in the AFC?
I think those division winners are good.
I think I'm taking the Ravens over the Browns.
Yeah, if I'm putting them as a wild card team, it's either going to be the Browns or the Ravens. I think they'll both be in the playoffs.
I guess the Browns are the better team, right? The Browns are better than the Ravens this year, right?
Yeah.
They should be. But we'll see.
I don't want to rely on Baker Mayfield, though. I'll probably pick the Ravens in that division, honestly.
So, yeah, I do think the Ravens, Bills,
but I think both
Browns,
of them are playoff teams.
Kansas City. I do think the Chargers have a shot. We'll see.
I'm not ready to lock them in, though.
Yeah. I agree with the Titans there as well.
I feel confident in the Chiefs, Browns, Titans, Bills, and Ravens. I think those are five playoff teams there.
Yeah. How many is there this year? Seven?
Yeah. So Dolphins and Chargers are their pick. I don't know if I'm ready to lock those teams in as playoff teams. Although, if you look around.
I'm going to say if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Broncos, I'd put them in there.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, that's fair. Or the Raiders. But, like, he's not there yet. But that's fair to say. If Aaron Rodgers could decide, will decide a playoff spot. Either the Packers will make it with him on the team, or he will get traded, and whoever gets traded to will most likely make the playoffs.
I'll say the Colts probably sneak in there, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I can't buy Carson Wentz.
That's what it's gonna be on. It's very open after those, like, the teams we mentioned, like the next few up that you would think have talent, like the Steelers. I could see them being in there. Dolphins, Chargers, and then after that, like, you're talking about like Patriots, Raiders.
It's open but Colts. Feels mediocre. Like,
yeah, that's
I think,
but somebody's gotta get the spot.
I think I feel more confident in the Patriots than I do the Dolphins this year.
Yeah.
I think with the defense getting back.
Yeah.
And being healthy and opted in, I think that will push them over the Dolphins. Maybe I'm just not seeing it with Tua, but I think it's more likely that Tua holds the Dolphins back than I do he takes a lead. But I'm just not sold on that kid.
Yeah. What'd they have him at, 500?
No, the Dolphins at 11-6.
Yeah, that is... Phew,
they got
no.
Tua getting 11 wins.
No.
They got Tua staying healthy and then Tua getting 11 wins.
Yeah. Those are two very bold statements.
Yeah.
So I'd probably swap the Patriots. I don't know if they're going 11-6, but I think they can get to 10-7, and that could be good enough for a wild card spot. The Colts have the roster to do it. I just don't know if they have the quarterback yet. We'll know by week three on what the Colts are when it comes to Carson Wentz, I think.
Yeah.
Then in the AFC West, I mean, I guess I would give it to the Chargers right now. Although if you told me Teddy was starting for the Broncos, maybe I'd give it to them. I don't know. Seems kind of open. They got the Texans going 1-16.
Jeez.
First team. Well, I would say it wouldn't be the first team to lose 16 games. Who's gonna be the first team to lose 17?
Who? What is the Jets over under?
The Jets.
I fell for this last year, but Adam Gase and Sam Darnold are gone now. So what is the Jets over under?
The New York Jets are at 6.
Okay.
I'm out on that.
If it was 5.5, I would have taken it, but I don't think they're gonna get the 7. Although they could, but
you can get the under at -105, over at -115.
I'm just telling you, you can get the what? The over at what?
-115.
Okay, so it's slightly favored to get over 6.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm taking the under. I don't think Zach Wilson's gonna be good.
You don't think he's going to be good at all in the NFL, or just not year one?
All, he may be average, but like, I don't think he'll be good year one.
Will
especially.
It be better than Darnold?
I'd say very comparable, to be honest. Maybe a more athletic Darnold, so maybe he'll just do some more stuff with his legs. But like,
I also think they upgraded the receivers a little bit too. Just getting Corey Davis and
he'll have his flashes where you'll see his like big arm downfield. He'll have some flashes doing stuff, but also at the same time, I think that's the same thing you saw with Darnold. He has flashes where you're like, oh wow, what a throw! And the next thing you know, he's throwing a dumb interception. So
I'm not going to tell the audience to take the Jets to be a wild card sleeper. I'm not going to tell them to take the over because I thought they'd be better last year, and they won 2 games. So, I do think we are.
Gase is out, though.
That's I was gonna say I do think we are going to be reminded of just how terrible Adam Gase was.
That's fair.
And I think Robert Saleh,
he's a beast,
is a good coach, and I think he will do the toughness and like just be well coached. He is a first-year coach, though, so like there might be a little growing pains at the beginning. But I just
I can see him getting the 7.
I was going to say, I think they can get to 7 and 10, maybe flirt with 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Might go into December with an outside chance, like still in the graphic of in the hunt for the wild card, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I could see in that. That wouldn't surprise me.
Same as the Bengals. I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of in the graphic, assuming that Burrow is healthy.
Same. Yeah.
NFC, they have the division winners being the Bucks, of course, at 14-3. The Packers at 12-5, which, I mean, I assume that's only with Aaron Rodgers. You have to project as if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, I guess.
Still on the roster, I guess. But
49ers at 11-6, and the Dallas Cowboys at 10-7.
Well, you know that one's going to be wrong. It's not as fun when Draven's not here.
Yeah.
They have the wild card teams being the Vikings at 10-7, the Rams at 10-7, and the Seahawks at 9-8.
I don't have issues with that.
Yeah, I like those wild card teams.
9-8's all it takes, though. Uh-oh.
Are they saying I can believe in that.
Got the Saints at 8-9, the Panthers at 8-9, the football team at 8-9, the Giants at 8-9. So they had a cluster of 11-6 teams in the AFC. In the NFC, they have a cluster of 8-9 teams fighting for that spot as the Panthers – football team, Saints, Giants, all go 8-9. They have the Seahawks going 9-8 and getting in.
Well, they're automatically wrong because the Falcons are winning 10 games. But
Falcons at 5 wins, Eagles at 3 wins, Lions at 3 wins, Cardinals at 7. Those are the last place teams.
Yeah, the 5 games?
Can we see the Cardinals doing something?
Oh, I don't. But
you don't believe in Kyler?
It's not so much Kyler. I mean, I do have questions about whether or not Kyler can make it through a season healthy just because of his size. Like, I mean, I do think with the way he runs around, the wear and tear he takes, like you saw it last year. I thought he was hurt at the end of last year. So.
Yeah, his shoulder.
Yeah. So I'm not going to pick them to be good for that reason. I think, you know, if J.J. Watt can turn back the clock and be a good pass rusher, maybe, but I don't think that's a huge signing. I think he's kind of washed, and I just really think Cliff Kingsbury's bad. I think he's. I don't want to call him like Adam Gase because he's better than that. But like, I think he is holding them back, and you'll see them kind of take a step after he leaves. So the same exercise with the NFC. I mean, of the playoff teams, who do you feel confident about? I feel confident that the Rams will be in the playoffs. I feel confident that the Bucks will be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'd say Vikings as well.
You're confident the Vikings will be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I need to see their defense. I know they like have tried to bring a bunch of youth in there, but I need to see their defense be better, although their offense should be good enough to score a bunch of points.
Yeah.
I'm kind of worried about Zimmer. I feel like Zimmer has kind of lost his touch with that locker room. I could see that. I could see him maybe being the first coach fired if they stumbled out of the block.
Like, they're going to beat up. They're going to get 4 wins, beating the Lions twice, beating the Bears twice. That's what I see as almost a guarantee.
But Cousins can't beat the Bears. Like, he always loses
Bears
at least in Chicago.
Is a guarantee.
Yeah. Now, this could all change, of course, for the Vikings if Aaron Rodgers is gone, of course. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is gone, I think you pencil the Vikings in, at least as a wild card team. But, I'm not going to pencil the Packers in because Rodgers most likely not going to be there. The Bucks, I'll say. The Rams, I'll say. I'll go back with the 49ers as well just because I think they'll be healthy.
Yeah, they're healthy. They should have enough juice to get there.
To be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the Cowboys would be the next closest, I guess. I guess. In terms of just finding a way to get to a wild card spot because the Eagles and Giants are so bad.
Finding a wild card? You're saying Washington gets the crown?
Well, I'm saying worst case scenario for the Cowboys.
Okay.
Like, I think Washington can get the crown if Fitzpatrick is fine, but I could also see where Washington's not very good. So I'm saying the floor for the Cowboys should be a wild card spot. They should win the division. Like, that's their goal. That's their aspiration. That's their projection. But, like, I've said that I think Washington's defense is going to carry them, and as long as Fitzpatrick is better than Dwayne Haskins and Taylor Heineke and Alex Smith on one leg. Like, I think that Washington team can win 9 games. NFC seems much, much, much more wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
It's a lot weaker, too.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Like, it's the Bucks. Right now, like, I mean, really, the only team I feel confident in, I guess that was the exercise, is that I feel really confident in the Bucks. And that's with a 43-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Legit.
Like, that's who you feel the – like, he's about to turn – 43, right? Or is he already 43?
I think he's about to turn 43.
Okay.
Because they talked about the 2 more years we gave him, the 45.
No, he's 43.
Okay.
He turns 44 in August. I was going to say, he was about
– August 3rd.
He turns 44 in a couple weeks.
Birthday.
And then, the next season after that, Cam will get him playing it while he's 45.
Jeez.
So, like, how confident can you really be in the Bucks when you have no backup quarterback and your starting quarterback is 44 years old? Yeah. You know, you could easily say not confident at all, but it is Tom Brady, so I'm going to quit doubting him when it comes to at least him being on the field, because he played through a torn MCL and didn't miss a beat. So, you know, everyone else kind of has questions. I guess I feel confident about the Rams being good enough, but...
Mm-hmm. I'd say watch out for the Falcons. They could sneak in there.
I mean, like anybody really can in the NFC. That's what I was going to say. I don't know what your defense looks like, but I mean, if you told me the Falcons came out and were 9-8, I wouldn't be shocked if that was good enough for a wild card spot. Matt Ryan can still score points, and I think Arthur Smith is going to do a lot for that offense. It's just, what does the defense look like?
Hold up at all. I'd say I honestly think the Bears will have a shot too. I think the Bears will be all right. That defense is still pretty solid.
Dalton and Fields can be serviceable,
yeah,
I guess.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. Yeah, that's all you need sometimes.
I just don't know if Nagy's good enough either. But they went 8-8 last year, so I mean they're going to be in the mix. We'll play some overrated, underrated after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Y'all ready to play some overrated, underrated?
Let's play.
All right. First up, we have sports cars.
You know, I don't know if I can give a official take on this. I don't know if I've ever driven like an actual sports car. Like, I mean, like a high luxury one.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are into them see really into them.
Yeah.
Like, I do like the idea of being able to go really fast. Do sports cars still have a cool connotation?
Yeah.
Or is it like...
Yeah.
Or when you hear sports car, do you think of, like, middle-aged man, like, crisis, midlife crisis? Like, to me, like, the sports car kind of got hijacked by that.
I usually think either that or you have a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
The narrative I...
Yeah, which, I mean, we still think people having a lot of money is cool. I'll go with sports cars have become slightly underrated. If we're thinking about, like, the cool sports cars. If we're talking about, like, a Mazda Miata. Because when I Google sports car, like, a Mazda Miata comes up. A Ford Mustang, a Dodge Challenger, like, those seem overrated, but, like, you know, the Porsche 911 seems kind of cool. A Jaguar always seems cool to me. I'll go underrated.
I'll go overrated just because I view a car as the means to get from one place to another. You don't need to shell out your bank just for some form of transportation.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those that, if you really need to flex that hard, you might as well grab something else that might be a little more helpful. I don't know, like a really big house. Save that money, put it towards like a big old mansion instead of putting it towards just a car. And plus, cars are really, they're just, you get in wrecks. Like, that happens. And sports cars take a lot of money to maintain. They're a little overrated.
Now, I would say, like, when you're looking at sports cars, when you're talking about like, means to get one way or the other, I doubt many people are riding, like, in real sports cars just kind of as their only transportation. It's probably more of a flex.
Yeah.
And you have the money to upkeep them. But if you don't, then, it seems overrated, I guess. Cameron?
All right. Next up we have ketchup.
Do you like ketchup, John?
I think ketchup's fine.
Yeah, I'm not crazy big on it.
I feel like ketchup has gotten underrated, though. I think ketchup has gotten underrated because everyone kind of prefers other sauces. Like, you know, I'll put ranch on my fries. I'll put barbecue sauce here. I'll do this and that. Mayonnaise on my burgers. All those other things. So I feel like ketchup has kind of gotten forgotten. But I will say, having just a huge pile of ketchup for your crinkly fries, that still hits. That still hits. Just dousing your fries. It's kind of got to be the crinkly fries for me these days to make it feel like the ketchup really hits, but it's gotten slightly underrated, but, you know, there are just many, many better sauce options.
Yeah, and it's one of those that I swear, if I know someone who likes ketchup, they put ketchup on a ton of things that I'm like, are you sure? Like, is that really the move that you want to do? Ruin what's underneath it? So to certain people, I'd say it's overrated just because they're like, oh, my gosh. But other people will appreciate it, like you said, for like, because it's nice. It's sweet. It gives you that little different taste when you have so much saltiness or so much just blandness. But, yeah, it has kind of sunk in popularity, though. So I'll probably have to go underrated, though, just because you don't hear about it as much as you did like 3-4 years ago.
Fair enough.
That damn purple ketchup.
That was the That was the weirdest gimmick. They were like, yeah, people are gonna love this. And they did not love that.
They did not love
that. All right. Next up we have water guns.
Water guns are overrated. I feel kind of confident about this one. Water balloons are cooler, as are just water hoses. Get a good water hose and throw some. Get a cup of water, dump it on somebody. You don't need that water gun. Have you seen the prices of water guns lately?
Yeah.
They are very expensive.
Pretty expensive.
And those tanks are never as big as you need.
Never as
like,
big as you
need. Like, they always are running out when you need to blast somebody.
Now, when you're a kid, the water gun was pretty cool. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. I think now you can see, like, hey, just get a water hose. That's good enough. Get a little spray thing at the end of it. Just spray that. Good to go.
Yeah, you can, like, use your thumb to make it go a little, like, faster. Make it like a jet to get your boy.
I say water balloons, but, like, I don't know. I feel like I've thrown enough of those where they haven't popped, actually, that I don't know if I like those either.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
You have a perfect throw, and it just bounces off.
Yeah.
What?
And I never was really good at tying them. And then when I would go to put them like on the faucet, I would like kind of poke a hole in it sometimes as I'm trying to like get it up there. So water balloons kind of suck too.
Yeah, it would be like my nail. Like I would slice it like right at like the junction where you would tie it.
Yeah.
But yeah, water guns. Do you guys see water guns a lot? Like not now, but did you play with water guns a ton when you were a kid?
I was a kid. Yeah, we had a bunch.
Yeah, I guess I was.
We'd have neighborhood like water gun fights.
Oh, just like a little battle? That's cool. Yeah, I'd have to say they're overrated just because there's more negatives, you know, and there's other ways to get water and still get the job done if you need to get someone drenched.
Fair enough.
Got anything else, Cam?
Yeah. Next up I have kickball.
Underrated. I love me some kickball. It's so simple. It's easy. That was the thing to do at recess growing up. And you felt like a champ when you can hit the homer over people when you were just sprinting around the bases.
See, I am only going to go. I liked kickball that was indoors. We'd play indoor kickball when it rained. Like in the gym.
Yeah.
That was fun. Jumping up on the wall, feeling like Ken Griffey Jr. trying to like rob a homer. Outside the, you know, because like, hey, if you get over the line, it's a home run. So you got to go there and try to keep it off sometimes, try to snag it. Yep, that was cool. It's a lot faster in there. You know, you're just kicking basically at people and trying to, you know, drill a third baseman, get it to bounce off him. That way it's, you know, a fair ball because you can't really, like, there's not a lot of open room. So it's either basically home run or you just got to be good at base running. Outside kickball, that seems too much. That seems too much. Like the fields, I don't know. I never was. Maybe I just couldn't kick it good enough. It was always the day for the soccer players to shine, to be honest.
Yeah. Soccer players did love kickball day.
Soccer players would really try to stun on you on kickball day. My goal was always just like, I got to get it right over the third baseman. Like, I got to be able to get it just high enough over the third baseman. I can't kick it deep enough over the fence. I'm just out there slapping singles and then trying to make something happen on the base paths. Pretty good defender or whatever, but outdoor kickball, overrated. Indoor kickball, underrated. Overall, I'll say slightly overrated as a whole.
There's something about the aesthetic of nailing somebody with a ball when there's no intentions of them to catch it.
Yeah.
It's like the same things with dodgeball. Like, that's just one of those where, you can show what you got, and you feel like a badass when you do it.
But how bad do you feel when you miss? How bad do you
feel?
It
is a bummer, but you're usually not getting the ball.
When you're trying to hit the person at home, going home, or you got the person dead to rights as a run to second, you try to throw it at them and you missed.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, they've got to third or scored. And everyone's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Ron, what are you doing? Just tag him, bro. You don't have to throw it so hard. Just tag him.
You're not. You're never like close enough to tag him.
And sometimes you can get there.
Catch him bad base running.
Yeah. And then you just try to launch it at him and hit him, and then you miss. They dodge it.
Or just move like the Matrix. Yeah. And then going back to your indoor kickball, you could slide.
I was sliding.
Yeah. You wear your sweatpants. Yeah. You can do maximum effort.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
Sliding in the gym. I destroyed many a sweatpants doing that.
Me as well.
Good batch of overrated, underrated. Last call on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call on the other side. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Cameron, what do you got for me?
I got an update on the couple that started the California wildfires with their gender reveal.
Okay.
All right.
Pump your brakes, kid.
So the couple whose gender reveal party last year was blamed for starting a deadly California wildfire face up to 20 years in prison. Officials say Yeah, Rafigo, Manuel Jimenez Jr., and Angela Renee Jimenez have been charged with several offenses, including involuntary manslaughter over the El Dorado fire. Officials say a smoke bomb used at the gender event last September sparked the blaze, in which one firefighter was killed and others were hurt. The couple have pleaded not guilty. The fire lasted more than 2 months and covered over 22,000 acres of Southern California, destroying homes and other properties. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, known as CAL FIRE, alleged that the smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used during the gender reveal party near the city on September 5th was the cause of the blaze. The wildfire was eventually extinguished on the 16th of November. So, yeah, a couple months. Yeah, firefighter Charles Morton was killed tackling the blaze, and several other firefighters were seriously injured. So, yeah, they're getting even, like, manslaughter charges and stuff. Involuntary manslaughter. Since, yeah, basically, yeah, the guy died, all the damage to the homes and property and, you know, stuff.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, don't be dumb.
Yeah, don't be an idiot.
Don't be dumb. We got Dubai learns how to do, create something, control something pretty cool.
Okay, okay, I'm into this. I don't know what it is, but I'm into it.
Well, you know, the United Arab Emirates, has done something that we've kind of thought the government might be doing anyways for a while. You know, I think we've accused the government at times of controlling the weather. Dubai has actually figured out how to control the weather, as it has created its own rain drones that they use to fly into clouds and unleash electrical charges to beat the sweltering 122 Fahrenheit degree heat. Okay. The rain is formed by using drone technology that gives clouds an electric shock to cajole them into clumping together and producing precipitation.
Okay.
That is cool. Whoa.
The videos of it are pretty wild in terms of, just like the going from really hot, sunny to just pouring rain.
We're going to get the supervillain that controls the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, this feels pretty important. I mean, like,
you could stop droughts.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, driving, I mean, forest fires. I mean, if you could just get rains from the sky, I would imagine that could go a long way in terms of helping control forest fires. And I told you in Montana, there were forest fires, but man, like driving through Montana also is just really, really dry. Not a lot of rain. Yeah. The land wasn't very good. And of course, growing up on a farm, we've had time like you're just like really, really hoping for rain.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, people need water, you know, for their crops and for their animals and stuff. And, you know, I think Dubai has taken the saying of a wise man and taking it to heart, Cam. Do you know what a wise man once said? A wise man once said that anyone can pray for rain, but only a few, you know, select group of people start digging a well.
That's and very true.
Dubai has taken the well and said, hey, we're not doing that. We're just going to control the weather. Forget getting it from the ground. Let's get it from the sky. It seems easier that way.
Jeez,
that seems absurd.
Yeah.
But it's also really, really cool.
Yeah. But like you said, government's probably been on this for a while, but if they're willing to put this in public light, that's nuts. Who knows what else they got hidden back in there?
Like, I don't know how expensive the technology is. I'd imagine it's getting better, right, and more accessible to people.
I would say, hypothetically, it could not be, like, more expensive than, like, most drones. Like, if it probably has, like, you know, higher battery life, stuff like that, which probably makes it more expensive. But if all it's doing is just releasing electrical charges, I feel like that's pretty straightforward to just add that function to most drones. Like, you could, I feel like, hypothetically. So I don't think it would be too much. They'll probably, obviously, if they started marketing and selling these, jack the prices up. But I feel like as far as, like, manufacturing and stuff, it's not going to be anything too much crazier, just adding another component to it.
As we shift gears a little bit, some quote-unquote breaking news. It isn't really breaking news, but worth talking about is Mike Leach is talking about the he's talking at SEC Media Days right now. And he was asked about Tennessee. Oh. And, you know, how he almost took the job here at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I talked to Tennessee, but nothing got nailed down. Then they had a coup d'etat there, there. I didn't get caught up in the coup, lucky for me.
This is what I forgot I was gonna. I was looking forward to last year at SEC Media Days was Mike Leach talking. I forgot we didn't actually get that last year. He always has good quotes. His Twitter is a weird place too. He just tweets out memes.
And he said, "Yeah, they had a coup d'état there."
Mike Leach is a character. Who's Mike Leach?
Does he need a good good year?
I'd say yeah, at least a solid year.
Like, is he in any trouble? Is this seat hot at all?
It's probably definitely some like a firewood under the chair, but I don't know if they've started to light it yet. But
on coacheshotseat.com, where they kind of keep an updated ranking. I don't know. Okay, so it's been updated as of today. Mike Leach has the 5th hottest seat in the country.
Okay. Yeah.
Harbaugh, Helton, Brohm, Frost, Leach is the top 5 there.
Half of the people we almost hired.
Yeah. Well, at least a couple.
At least our taste is consistent.
Russell Smith, The Drive, up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.